Radio Daily for finally Frackin' Friday. Ah, a whole couple of days without having to go to work. Now I know what a government worker feels like. Welcome to it. Thank you. Biting social commentary. 18th of January, 2019, because, you know, I just mentioned the shutdown thing. Hi, we're the folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. You know us from Facebook and Twitter and your dreams, right? It's adorable. We love the folks who are bringing it to you today. Well, the man who is ready to just get out there and party, because after a long, hard week of podcasting, he's ready to celebrate. That is podcasting's Rich Siegfried.
We did it. You know it.
I don't think that's what that line is supposed to mean, sir. Hi, I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
And a team is only as strong as its weakest player. That's you.
Ha-ha! We got nowhere to go but up. What happened today, sir?
Well, in 1939, the Superman comic strip debuts. The series will run continuously until May of 1966.
1956, 10 years before it ends, the United States government's automated air defense system, the semi-automatic ground environment, SAGE, is disclosed to the public. SAGE is your secret ingredient for gravy.
1961, the Bell System proposes a new service called Telpac, telecommunications package, which would create electronic highways between specific points over which many types of communications might be transmitted.
So then information could go along these, I don't know, what, super highways? Where? Mm-hmm. 1965, the 48th and final episode of the science fiction anthology TV series The Outer Limits, The Probe, first airs.
1969, Soviet spacecraft Soyuz 4 and Soyuz 5 performed the first docking of a manned spacecraft in orbit, as well as the first ever transfer of crew from one space vehicle. The transfer of crew from one space vehicle to another.
That's back when that term meant something different. 1973, the USSR Luncheon 2 lunar rover begins to survey the surface of the moon via remote control. The rover will make astronomical observations, measure magnetic fields, perform laser ranging experiments, shoot video footage, and save a bit of space for Japan to grow some plants.
1983, according to Twin Galaxies, Joe Carson scores a record-setting 75,865,365 points playing the Williams Electronics arcade game Defender at Sandy's Arcade in Cheektowaga, New York.
1998, NASA officially announces that John Glenn, who was the first American to orbit the Earth during the course of the Mercury program, will re-enter space as a member of the crew of the Space Shuttle Discovery during a mission later in the year.
2001, the first Wikipedia entry to survive from the original site database is created. Though founder Jimbo Wales created the wiki the day prior, the only pages he created were test edits. The first entry, uppercase U, lowercase U, uppercase U, is for the letter U, a page containing a bullet list for United Kingdom, United States, and Uruguay. The address utilizes three letter U's because the wiki's underlying software prevents the creation of entries with one letter titles.
Because you always start with you. 2003, NASA launches the Space Shuttle Columbia on the 28th and final mission. 16 days later, it'll disintegrate as it re-enters Earth's atmosphere, killing all seven members of the shuttle's crew. Not the way you want to end a series of flights.
Now, 2009, electronics retailer Circuit City announces that it is unable to find a buyer following its Chapter 11 bankruptcy, and so will begin liquidating its 567 U.S. locations. Circuit City will finally close on March 8th, resulting in the loss of around 30,000 jobs because they didn't listen to Billy Flynn.
They did not. That's why 3 hours after that story broke, I called my former district manager who no longer worked there and told him I was right and he was wrong. Birthdays?
Jake Epstein, 32 years old, from Degrassi, The Next Generation, Suits, and Designated Survivor.
Lin-Manuel Miranda is 40, from The Force Awakens, Moana, Hamilton, Mary Poppins Returns, the upcoming His Dark Materials.
He also teaches people how to talk to angels. So is that a different heights?
That is.
Debbie Allen, 69 years old, from Fame, JoJo Dancer, Your Life is Calling, Ragtime, 2009 version of Fame.
Fame.
The good thing about Debbie Allen is that we'll never have to announce that she's passed away. She's going to live forever.
John Carpenter is 71 years of age, the man that brought us Dark Star, Halloween, Escape from New York, The Thing, Big Trouble in Little China, In the Mouth of Madness. Lots of good things. And some that aren't.
Born this date, no longer with us, in 1887, John Hamilton, Flash Gordon conquered Universe, Maltese Falcon, Perry White on Adventures of Superman, and by the way, Lin-Manuel Miranda is not his father.
No, he's not. 1901, Frank Zamboni founded the Frank Company.
You ever ride a Frank around on the ice?
That's great. You, good stuff.
Nothing cleans the ice better than riding a Frank across it. 1907, Alexander Knox, from Son of Dr. Jekyll.
1908, Ethel Merman, from It's a Mad, 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 Mad World. And of course, Airplane. I think Airplane 2, probably.
1917, Carl Karcher founded Carl's Jr.
1979, Aaliyah. She was a fantastic singer. She was in that movie Queen of the Damned, and we won't mention the R. Kelly stuff because this is a family show.
Yeah. On CBS, we get a new MacGyver, Hawaii 50, and a rerun of Blue Bloods.
ABC, it's a new Fresh Off the Boat, Speechless, and 2020.
NBC has a new Blind Spot, The Blacklist, and Dateline NBC.
On Fox, it's a new Last Man Standing, The Cool Kids, and Hell's Kitchen.
CW has a new Dynasty and Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
I'm so glad those are back. Freeform has Wreck-It Ralph.
I'm old Wreck-It. AMC has Enemy of the State. I remember liking that.
Yeah, it's decent. A&E has a new live PID.
FX has Ghostbusters, the new one, which, you know, it's not bad.
Yeah, it's got its moments. FXX, Simpsons, Singing in the Lane, Ha Ha Land, and Frink Gets Testy.
FXM has Spider-Man.
I'll come out.
The first one?
Yeah, because none of the rest of them are called Spider-Man. And that's how you know. And knowing is something. History Channel, it's another marathon of ancient aliens declassified. Could you, some actual freaking history? We don't mind if you go back and show nothing but Hitler documentaries. Come on!
Paramount has The Longest Yard, the new one, which is one of the last good Adam Sandler movies.
Sci-Fi Channel has Matricula's favorite movie, The Fifth Element. Never going to get tired of saying that, Matricula. I'm never going to get tired of saying that.
But there's no centaurs in there. TBS has Man of Steel.
There is if you cross your eyes right. TNT is showing The Bourne Legacy, which I don't remember which one that is. Wait.
VH1, bring all the mechanics out because it's a new RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars.
Is that the one that has Hawkeye, not Alan Alda? I don't even remember. Maybe.
I think so, yeah.
Anyway, we're watching the Hallmark Channel because Tolan is rich and powerful, but also a controlling and jealous man that demands Ella's complete attention all the time. So fearing for her life, Ella decides to marry him, but escape during their honeymoon. When she puts her plan in motion, she has no idea she's placing everyone she knows in unanticipated danger, as he will stop at nothing to find where she is and destroy anyone that stands in his way. Krista B. Allen, Danielle C. Ryan, Jacob Young, and Jaleel White star in When Vows Break. Did I do that?
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what soap opera's Billy Flynn is doing today. It's your Days of Our Lives Chad update. Rex's stunning admission sends Sarah into Eric's arms. He admitted he loves her, but will still cheat on her like before. Well played, Eric. John gives Marlena disappointing news about Xander. He is probably going free, and he's wearing the wrong colors for the season. Rafe reveals to Hope that he's leaving town to help Sammy, because she can't make a spinoff by herself. Xander makes a deal with Leo. We could be a couple, but I do not like those couple names from yesterday. We either have to be Xano or Xander Lee. Oh, hashtag Chabby. Forever.
No blasted lettuce today.
Well, no, there's not. And if you'd like to change that, you can make that happen. Simply drop a note to podcast@geekradiodaily.com. Or, of course, you can always send a voicemail to the magical phone number of
510-GRD-CROW.
And we'll tell you about it later. I'll mention a random contest I just thought of. Ooh.
Ooh.
Hi, boys, girls, and friends beyond the binary. I'm Matricula, a birthday clown for all ages that are 18 and up. Join me around the campfire to sing songs full of youthful nostalgia like The Magic and Save a Horse, Ride a Time Lord. I also host the Nasty Woman Knitting Circle, where we knit cozies and other items for charity fundraisers. Catch me live on twitch.tv/METRICULA. See you there!
Hi, this is Corin Nimick from Parker Lewis Can't Lose, and you're listening to Geek Radio Daily.
Indeed you are. That man is a national treasure, and one day everyone's going to realize how much they should have loved him, because, oh my dear Lord, that man is fantastic.
I got an idea for a movie.
Doesn't everybody?
Of course they do, and today's the day they all get to come out, since none of them is big enough to have a Thursday opening. What are we going to go watch, sir?
Well, in limited release, we've got Anna, who is comfortable living in her mom's garden shed making funny videos all day. But as she approaches 30, she starts feeling the pressure to move on and grow up without compromising her youthful spirit. Jodie Whittaker stars in Adult Life Skills.
Nationwide, following the conclusion of Split, spoilers, Glass finds Dunn pursuing Crumb's superhuman figure of the Beast in a series of escalating encounters, while the shadowy presence of Price emerges as an orchestrator who holds secrets critical to both men. The film you never thought you'd see, Bruce Willis, Samuel L. Jackson, James McAvoy in Glass.
Man, I'm so looking forward to that. But if that isn't enough supernatural events or creatures, then Svengoolie's got you covered. Professor Van Helsing is in danger of prosecution for the murder of Dracula until a hypnotic woman steals the Count's body and cremates it. Bloodless corpses start appearing in London again. Hungarian Countess Maria Zaleski seeks the aid of a noted psychiatrist, hoping to free herself of a mysterious evil influence. Gloria Holden, Edward Van Sloan, and Otto Kruger, God, that's such a great name, star in the film that boasts it will give you that weird feeling in 1936's Dracula's Daughter.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News!
Yay. Take a look at the world from a geeky point of view. Disney,
one day will rule it all.
I mean, they got animation, they got Marvel, they got Star Wars. Nothing can stop them. They can't be bargained with. Stopping this behemoth of a studio from slowly taking over the world. Can't do it. Their latest trend, of course, is making live-action versions of their animated classics.
Which means they'll do Treasure Planet one day, right?
God, we can hope so. And Atlantis, come on, man. Meanwhile, Tony-winning playwright David Henry Hwang is writing the film Hunchback, a live-action adaptation of the Victor Hugo novel of the same name. Another adaptation. This time of the original 1996 animated film from Disney. Disney mainstay Alan Menken will be joining Stephen Schwartz, who's going to be writing the music for the film. And he worked on the original animated film. And while Schwartz and Menken have collaborated on the stage production, this film will not be utilizing anything from it.
Tom Hulce is quasi-Mozart?
Well, if he was in it, but it seems Tom Hulce is not going to be in this. Josh Gad, one of the stars of the live-action Beauty and the Beast, is producing the film, and there's some buzz going around that he will be playing the role of Quasimodo, but no casting decisions yet.
Josh Gad. That name rings a bell.
I'm sure. He's also been spotted recently hitting karaoke places getting ready and singing that song by Journey, Alice Cooper, Pat Benatar, and Iron Maiden.
Steve Carell is reuniting with The Office creator Greg Daniels for a new Netflix comedy series based on Donald Trump's proposed Space Force.
Or it could just be a series based on the classic movie Morons from Outer Space.
Well, the series is described as a workplace comedy centered around the individuals tasked with turning Trump's dream into a reality. There's only one problem. Their mission is rather unclear. The goal of the new branch is to defend satellites from attack and perform other space-related tasks, or something. This is the story of the men and women who have to figure it out.
Vague mission statements with no actual plans or goals? Takes me back to my days at the Pentagon.
Carell himself will star in Space Force, marking his first role as a series regular since wrapping The Office in 2011. He's set to earn a record-setting $1 million per episode.
Or one Shazam suit per episode.
Yeah, plans for the show first went into motion shortly after Trump announced the out-of-this-world idea in June of 2018. After getting word of the project, Netflix quickly picked up the rights and gave it a straight-to-series order.
I like seeing Carell back on TV, but this idea doesn't seem like anyone thought that long and hard about it.
That's what she said.
If you have not checked out the YouTube channel Star Wars Theory, make yourself some damn time. They got videos discussing, dissecting, and analyzing every part of the sci-fi franchise. The owner of the channel, Twos, has been posting Star Wars videos on his channel since 2016, way back then. His first post was a theory about what if Emperor Palpatine was actually Snoke in The Force Awakens.
Please, we know Snoke was Jar Jar.
Damn right. He asked the serious and hard-hitting questions like, if Darth Vader feels his cybernetics, why Count Dooku turned to the dark side? Why do Nerf herders get all scruffy? Star Wars Theory has grown to about 1.4 million subscribers and tens of thousands of views daily. In February 2017, he started work on his biggest project yet, a Star Wars fan film about corrupted Darth Vader. He contacted Danny Ramirez to direct and they began planning the production. Before the camera started rolling, Tu said he contacted an employee at Lucasfilms and asked if he could make the film and if he could monetize it. He claims Lucasfilm gave him permission on two conditions. You can't crowdfund, you can't monetize the fan film on YouTube. He agreed to those conditions and shot for 3 days in September, and they put up part one, Shards of the Past, on December 20th. Check it out. It's pretty sweet. Has more than 6 million views in 1 month and 40,000 likes. On January 14th, music group and corporate collective Warner Chappell filed a copyright claim against the video. After filing the claim, the company, publisher for Walt Disney, began to collect ad revenue for Tuz's video by claiming one of the songs used a rendition of the Imperial March. And if he appeals and Warner refutes his claims, he could get a copyright strike on his channel and lose complete ownership of the video.
If people have been wondering, that's what we call strong-arming, kids.
Disney does not own Warner Chappell. The music group merely licenses their music. Star Wars Hub goes into greater detail on fan creators' experiences with them, which is awful. They've struck down video of the Imperial Throne Room, metal scene without any music, all kinds of stuff. Fan response on Reddit has been massive, with the post about Star Wars Theory and the strike reaching over 90,000 upvotes. YouTube's copyright system is so prone to abuse it hurts more than help, wrote one user, and another wrote, pray I don't monetize it further. The next day, Tooz posted an updated video saying that someone contacted his network, Bent Pixels, it's like his agency, and says, if you appeal this decision, then it's ours and we're going to take the money from it, and then we're going to strike your channel and delete the video. Three strikes on a channel could lead to deletion, and to him, that's not worth the risk.
Oh, nice channel you have here. Would be a shame if something were to happen to it.
In a new video on Star Wars Theory channel, Tooz told his fans that the claim on his video had been lifted due in part to the intervention of Lucasfilms. They stepped up and told Disney or the other company that this wasn't okay. This wasn't going to stand. That's what he says in the video. But because of three notes of music... So they said that three notes sounded too much like the Imperial theme.
So it doesn't go, bum, 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 bum. It goes, bum, 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 bum.
Yeah, no. Theirs goes, da, 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 da.
I see that they're using the Vanilla Ice strategy.
Someone had to.
And what a lot of people don't realize is that when you get three strikes, not only is your entire channel deleted, but you are effectively perma-banned from the platform. Which means you can't even go and set up a new one without it immediately getting banned.
Which is just awful. So because of those three notes, they will take the film and he cannot monetize it. And they're going to make money off of it. But you try it and you will find the more you tighten your grip, the more that fan filmmakers will slip through your fingers. Oh, and...
That is what we call a dick move.
Jesus, who are they? Paramount? Robots. People worry they are stealing jobs from decent... hard-working flesh-and-blood humans.
But they still want to have sex with them.
True. But to paraphrase Mark Twain, reports of humans' impending redundancy may have been greatly exaggerated. Nothing proves that better than Japan's Henna Strange Hotel firing half of its 243 robot staff.
Because they were killing all the guests named Connor?
Close, but not exactly. Because they were causing more problems than they were solving and requiring humans to come in and fix things as a result.
Did they fire them or just not plug them in to recharge?
Well, one of the victims of the robot layoffs was a doll-shaped robot called Churi, which functioned as an artificial intelligence assistant like a humanoid version of Amazon's Alexa. Unfortunately, Churi turned out to be somewhat awful at answering questions from hotel guests. A pair of Velociraptor dinosaur robots, which worked at the hotel check-in, where else would you put them, were also made extinct by the firing since they wound up being unable to do many of the jobs required of a receptionist.
Not so clever girl.
Well, they couldn't reach the computer keyboard because their hands are too... A concierge robot was replaced by a human better able to answer important questions about nearby tourist attractions. Stupid robot, what, you didn't have Google Maps? Humans are also now going to carry luggage to the rooms, of which the previous robots were only able to reach about one quarter of them until they apparently anything was on the second floor, and only, of course, in optimal weather conditions while inside. The problem with Henna Hotel getting rid of these robots is that it's a bit like Disney getting rid of the staff dressed as Disney characters. It's pretty much the whole concept. The robots were supposed to make it the most efficient hotel in the world.
Please, the Continental will always hold that title. Even though I still don't understand why a room for a week costs as much as a damn drink.
Yeah, what is the exchange rate? Anyway, in the end, though, it seems that as great as robots can be, they're simply not suitable for every role just yet. With robot bartenders, robot-staffed restaurants becoming more commonplace, it'll be interesting to see how many similar concepts fall apart in the coming years. Or be like the X-Files sushi place. See, once the novelty of a robot dinosaur at your reception wears off, you're just faced with a receptionist who can't properly understand you. Which actually kind of makes it like any regular hotel.
Except at the Marriott, the staff don't eat the guests. So welcome to the 27th day of the United States government being shut down. Hundreds of thousands of people going to work without pay or not even going to work at all.
Until they round them up because Mullah Ram demands they work. Kalima Shakti Day.
One former government employee and current Batman and Heroes in Crisis writer Tom King knows that struggle all too well and wants to ease some of his fans' burdens by donating his time and comics this weekend. Tom King, an American author, comic book writer, ex-CIA officer, Best known for the Vision series at Marvel, the Sheriff of Babylon for Vertigo, his work on Batman, Mr. Miracle, Heroes in Crisis, he posted on Twitter, "Announcement! With the shutdown, a lot of people are suffering. I've been there. Worked for the Fed for 9 years, at times living paycheck to paycheck. Wanted to help, so I'm giving away my comics this Saturday, Third Eye Comics, Annapolis, Maryland." King also posted a stack of over 100 DC graphic novels that were sent to the best-selling author as comps, which he'll also be bringing to give away, along with a few hundred floppies.
5 1/4 or 3 1/2?
Individual comic book issues.
Well, why didn't you say that?
I did. Along with donating books from his vast collection, King said that he'll be signing comics all day, and I suggest getting a blank cover, because the stuff he does on those are cool and hilarious. So thank you for doing something, sir. And if everybody else wants to help, grab a pencil, write this down. Call Mitch McConnell, 202-224-2541, and demand he do his fracking job!
Yep.
Didn't mean to get all real on you like that, but come on, this is stupid. This is stupid. Vote on the stupid bill. He can just say no, and then we can do what the Constitution says to do. For the love of God! Even I know how to do this, and I'm a dummy. GRD is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, Non-Derivative Works, United States 3.0 license. Come check us out on Facebook and on Twitter, and stop by the website at geekradiodaily.com. And hey, if you figured out the crazy, weird blooper that was intentionally done for today, eventually, by all means, let us know. If you figured something out about this crazy little episode, if you get it right, I got a prize. What is it? Who the hell knows? I'll give you options. But drop us a note and let us know. It's podcast@geekradiodaily.com. Or, of course, you could just tell us in a voicemail at
510-GRD-CROW.
And we'll see you when we do.
What do you think?
It stinks.
Well, folks, I am out of here.
There is nothing wrong with your television set. Do not attempt to adjust the picture. We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. If we wish to make it softer, we will tune it to a whisper. We will control the horizontal. We will control the vertical. We can roll the image, make it flutter. We can change the focus to a soft blur or sharpen it to crystal clarity. For the next hour, sit quietly and we will control all that you see and hear. We repeat, there is nothing wrong with your television set. You are about to participate in a great adventure. You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind to the outer limits.